Let us open up the line directly to the Weather Center and speak with Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Hello there, Marshall.
A little bit of shower activity this morning.
Yep, a little bit. That's a second front coming through. And I don't really think that's going to amount to too much. So it winds up partly sunny, windy, and colder today. We'll be maybe up at around 45. And then we'll take a sharp dip late this afternoon, leading to 20 to 25 tonight. Sunny, mid-40s Saturday. Cloudy Sunday, rain comes in late in the day, low 50s. We have periods of rain on Monday, 55 to 60. And then windy and cold weather Tuesday into Wednesday, when there could be a few flurries around, and that would be about it. But I think Tuesday, especially Tuesday, my feeling is that we're not going to get out of the 30s on Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll get back into the 40s, and Thanksgiving Day, we'll be in the 50s.
All right, so and will it be sunny?
I would say at least partly sunny.
All right, and will it be breezy or no?
It will be breezy.
Okay, so the 50s will feel like probably right around 50 then.
Or maybe a little cooler than that.
All right. But yeah. at least the traveling weather will be good.
Yeah, that should be fine. There should be no problem. You know, I watched one of the network newscasts last night, and one of the headlines was, not one, but two big storms to affect our nation the week of Thanksgiving. And I'm just shaking my head and I'm saying, you know, why do they have to be so negative? You know, I mean, that's not the case. And it's not going to be the nation. It's only going to be a part of the nation. So I just shook my head and I said, this is why I was getting phone calls galore yesterday. A lot of our government clients were calling. Pat, what do you see Thanksgiving? And they're all worried because of this, because of that. I said, calm down. There's not going to be a heavy snowfall or anything like that at all, you know, with this so-called nor'easter and the whole bit. It's just, you know, Marshall, they're just in that mode. You know, they just like to take the littlest thing and blow it up.
Well, it means ratings for them. That, you know, that's the whole thing to get people.
I guess so.
And the reason they do it, and this is funny, years ago, people solely got their weather, basically, solely got their weather from the 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock news on TV, really years ago. I mean, yes, they did get forecast listening to the radio and everything, but people would tune in at 6 o'clock in the wintertime at 11 o'clock at night, and they would wait for the weather forecast. Well, that's not the way it is nowadays. The way it is now, you have, well, like yourself, live on the radio with various radio stations. You have so many different private firms that are out there doing the same thing. You also have the Weather Channel. So people get this information in so many different places. And so to fight to make their content more viable, they gin it up a little bit when it comes to the news coverage.
Yeah, I see. You're right. You are right.
I mean, the weather.
Yeah, but that puts us in a very fickle position.
Well, it does. And the Weather Channel is guilty of that as well. I mean, they are guilty of that as well because, of course, they need ratings. But if you were to sit and listen to your forecast and then go to any TV station or go to the Weather Channel, they'll always include that little hint of a possible disaster.
right. Yeah, and there's one service that puts out their own alerts. So I'm not mentioning any names, because they always try to be one step ahead of the National Weather Service. And you know, I've said this for years, I think, you know, the National Weather Service does a very, very fine job. And I really do think that the National Weather Service should basically do watches, warnings, special statements, and stuff like that. And they should get out of the, quote, the forecast business. Because if they did, that means one of two things. It means, means two of two things. One, the government could save a lot of money on help because they would not need as many people. And that would also, too, help private industry to make more money. Because people who now use strictly the National Weather Service forecast, because it's free, it's government forecast, would be forced to go to the private sector and have to pay for it. So the government succeeds because they're going to cut down their overhead and payroll tremendously, and the private sector is going to expand because they're going to make more money. And for the people who will not be working for the government, then the private sector could hire those people.
Yeah, it's funny because you look at the National Weather Service forecast, and it's a generalized forecast. They'll say 70% chance of snow for Northwest Connecticut.
Right.
But that doesn't only include Northwest Connecticut. Out of Albany, our forecast zones includes Dutchess County. It includes Litchfield County. It includes a wide, wide area. Where what we do with you, Pat, is we zone in exactly on our listening area, and give you a better idea of
localize it. Yeah, we localize it.
And that's the difference between the National Weather Service and even the big pay services. They have to do that even though they break it down. But and also, what people don't realize when they're watching the graphics on TV, the graphics before the storm mean nothing, folks. When you see the prediction of either rain or snow and they have all these beautiful colors, that's just a prediction. That's a prediction.
Right.
That's not actually what happens. And then when they do go to their Doppler radar and stuff like that, it is always 15 minutes behind because they have to download that, put it into their playback computers, and then play it back. So it's not real time when you see that on TV.
I always try
to explain that to people. It's not real time because they have to download it and put it up so they can put it on. So it's about 10 to 15 minutes behind. It's a tricky thing, and I always say, you know, years ago we had a client complain. We were running a National Weather Service alert, okay, for a winter storm warning, and a business called up and said, you know, we're getting cancellations. Do you have to put that on the air? And so I said, yeah, it's part of our agreement. When they send out a warning,
you have to.
We have to put it on the air.
You have to.
You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is an EAS requirement. Now we don't have to put advisories. We don't have to put things like that. But the minute it gets to warning status, that has to go on air.
Yep. And another point. Yesterday, I was reading the forecast from the National Weather Service for New Hampshire, because we have stations up there. And their forecast for last night was for rain showers changing to snow showers with up to 1 inch. And I shook my head. I said, I have no idea where they are coming off with this. I just don't. And, you know, in the forecast that I put out, I went for showers. This morning, showers and 35 degrees. So, and again, like you said, they are giving a forecast, a broader forecast. So when you talk about New Hampshire, as you move north, from south to north, you hit into the White Mountains. So maybe the White Mountains get 1 inch. But is that forecast going to be the same for people who live in southern New Hampshire? No. So, you know, that's where we come in. We have to try to localize it. And I mean, I do Minnesota, you know that. And Minnesota is very difficult. I mean, in central Minnesota, sometimes the southern part of the listening area is getting rain and wind, while the northern part is getting heavy snow and wind. You know, and you have to be able to call the shots, just like here. How many times, Marshall, you've seen me say, well, wind warning out for the Berkshires, nothing for the Catskills and nothing for Northwest Connecticut. And I scratch my head. How do you put out a wind warning for the Berkshires and not for the Catskills in Northwest Connecticut? You know, it's coming from different offices of the National Weather Service. But if the Berkshires are going to have a 40-mile-per-hour wind, there is no way that Northwest Connecticut and the Catskills will have anything less than 30. So You know, a lot of times we'll have to issue more than one advisory because of our listening area here. And that's why Marshall has devised the intro as tri-state forecast, because it's three states.
And that's tough enough to do as well.
Oh yeah, it is, especially in the wintertime. The wintertime is really the rough one. So, but in any event, I just have to bring you the latest bulletin, not in weather. I called my sister last evening, and I did invite her to come here for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to politely say absolutely not, but she didn't. She politely said fine. So Pat will be driving to Long Island Thanksgiving morning, picking up his sister, bringing her back here. She'll stay Thursday night, and then Friday morning, Pat will return back to Long Island to drop her off.
Oh, two bad days to drive.
Terrible. I'm going to do early. I'm going to leave here 7 a.m. Thanksgiving morning. And I'll get there probably about 8:15. She'll be ready. She's always up early. And I should be able to get back here with no traffic. And I'm going to do the same thing Friday morning. Leave early.
Well, it's nice that she's coming up again.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, it would be nicer if I didn't have to be Pat Uber.
That's right. Well, Pat, I want you to have a good weekend. We'll speak to you. We'll speak to you on Monday, right?
Yes, I'm going to rest up.
All right, rest up and have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you Monday.
Thanks, Marshall.
Take care. Pat Pagano this morning in the Weather Center with a check on our tri-state forecast here on Robin Hood Radio.